Well, bless the Lord. Amen. Good to see your smiling faces, coffee in hand, and donuts on your lips. And we had the privilege of leading worship at the Gathering the Generals conference in Huron this weekend, and we're going to be just sharing a couple things from that today, and hopefully inspire your faith and stir your spirit towards God things. I've had a passion, God, for probably the last 4 weeks, maybe, that you guys would just be lit on fire, that I could be instrumental in removing things in your life from growth, that you would be thriving in your Christianity. And that's always my prayer as a pastor, but just specifically, God, I'm like, God, I want these people just to catch a glimpse of your glory, to catch a taste of something more. And that's just in all my messages, whether it comes through or not, that's what's in my heart, is like, God, there's so much more. I don't want us to just sit through church services. I don't want us to just show up and check the box. God, there's so much more. How do I communicate? How do I present that? How do I carry something that would invite these people into the more of God? How do I stir their spirits? How do I highlight something that could be easily swept aside, and then they could walk into freedom, into a greater realization of the glory of God in their life? That's been my heart and my prayer for you guys. So if you're sensing any uncomfortableness in your life, I've been praying for you guys diligently. I want to see the Lord. Yeah, you're welcome. I have little interest in filling a pulpit. I really do. I have great interest in bringing you the Word of God, but I have little interest in filling a pulpit. I don't need to preach. I need you to grow. Whatever happens here, the end result better be pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, plumbers. What's the other one? Wow. We got home at 2 o'clock last night. So my head's a little fuzzy, and we led worship like mad dogs all weekend, and we just were just going for the glory of God. And so I'm having a little trouble connecting thoughts today. But the fivefold ministry, I'm just going to say, you guys know what that is. Pastors are included in that. Our job is to equip you for the ministry. Our job is to equip you for the ministry. Our job is not to preach at you. That is not our job. That is not our job. Find that in the Bible. It's not our job. It's to equip you. So as long as you guys are growing and maturing and being launched into your destinies and into the ministries of God, then it's getting done. I have no desire to just sit and preach to you. My passion is to see you grow. So at least if all the messages are duds, at least you know that I'm praying for you, right? My passion is to see you grow. Maybe your eyes are glazed over and you're like, do something different. Preach on something else. I don't know. I want to see you guys' hearts just stirred. I want to see you miserable. Because on the other side of that is so much goodness, you can't even imagine it. So we go to this conference. We led worship Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, ministry time afterwards. And I was trying to figure out which way was up by the time we were heading out. We left here on about 11 o'clock last night. And so these guys came in and preached. And Jeff and Autumn, we've known them for probably about 10 years. They're mentors in our life. And they put on this conference. And they brought in a guy named Steve from Springfield, Missouri. And a guy named Josh from Minneapolis. And one of the themes throughout this weekend is that there's so much more. There's so much more. And we've got to be so careful what we're looking at, what we're ingesting, what we're focusing on. And I just love that that message has already been shared here this morning. And they were just talking about some of the stories of what God is doing in the land. Some of the stories about what God is doing in America. Some of the stories about what God... Here's one of my... I got to be really careful because I know I can torque you off for unnecessarily. Like, I don't mind if you get mad at me. There's sometimes I can say things in certain ways that'll just get you mad, just like more than you needed to be. And so I've kind of got a pet peeve, and it can kind of torque you off if I say it in my annoyed voice. So one of the things that really bothers me is how America thinks all the end times and the Bible and everything is really about America. And it's just, and I have to be really gentle and careful with that, because I know that cuts cross-grained to what, maybe not a lot what a lot of you believe, but what a lot of you say. A lot of you guys say that, and it just drives me nuts. I'm like, you guys, this is like global. In America, we're pretty arrogant here. And you know, we're a lot of things, and we're a lot of good things. We're also really arrogant. And we kind of like think the world revolves around us. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And I love going to conferences to people that go to other countries regularly. And honestly, in the move of God, they said last night, and they were not being mean. They're just being like, and it kind of came up as a, it wasn't even like, I'm going to say it to you now. It was more of a like a side note that was, they said they both feel that America is probably about 10 years behind the move of God that's happening around the globe. And I'm like, no, that's not where I want to be. That is not where I want to be. God, that is not where, and that, they're not saying that God's not doing great things here. They're saying what they're seeing. Like, do you trust your own opinion? Do you trust the people that go there and see it and invest their lives in it? And they have nothing to prove. I mean, they're just speaking to us. He said, you know, obviously COVID is ungodly and evil and it is what it is, and it's decimating, guys, it's decimating countries across the world. It's not just, right? Like, we need to have a little bit more of a global vision. And I know, especially for us, like, Northeast South Dakota, we're kind of about as far as you can get from everywhere, right? Like, we're not close to, we're, like, our foreign nation is Canada, eh? Right? We feel like we're missionaries and well-traveled if we get across the border, right? That's not quite what we're talking about. And so I was trying to remember some of the stories, and I probably am going to butcher these, but I love sitting in that environment because it so challenges your heart and raises your faith. And they were talking about a church in Lebanon. One of the really interesting things the guy said, I can't remember them all, but he talked about, the fastest growing church, which is Iran, fastest in the globe. Can't remember what is Korea?
Largest church.
Korea is the largest church. Korea is second only to the U.S. in how many missionaries they sent out. We send out a lot of missionaries. You know who's second? Korea, South Korea. They have the largest church. They're hugely missional. China, which is, used to be the fastest growing, and it still is. They're bizarre in China. Anyways, listed off five countries where COVID hit first, and it was the five countries where there's moves of God.
Italy,
yep, and yeah, the Charismatic Catholic Renewal, sweeping the nation, sweeping the globe, really. God doing a fresh thing in an old system. And I can't remember what the other one was. But it just was a point of interest, and I thought that was really intriguing. And so while COVID is ugly and evil, if that's all you focus on, you're going to be pretty miserable. He talked about a church in Lebanon that there are about 100 people. And the first time that they shut down and did services online, the very first Sunday, they had 5,000 people watching. And I don't know if he gave a percentage, but almost every one of them was Muslim. It was the first, at least in that area, it was the first gospel presented over the airwaves in that form in Arabic.
And worship.
That could not have happened without COVID. Like, I'm not saying COVID's good, COVID's evil. But I'm just saying, if you get stuck just wallowing in the negativity, man, we're going to miss so much of what God is doing. He said another church in Lebanon, you guys heard about the explosion in, is it Beirut? It could be that same church, I'm not sure, but since that explosion, which was, what, a week ago? And he's telling us this last night or yesterday or 2 days ago. Since that explosion, more people have come to Christ than in the previous entire year in that church. God is just doing incredible things. God is moving. One of the other guys, the other speaker, Josh, he lives 15 minutes from George Floyd, is that the name? In Minneapolis, 15 minutes from where that is going on. He was on a plane. He's been in 20 countries in the last 2 years. He's a revivalist. He's an evangelist. He was getting ready. He was in D.C. on a plane to go to Portugal, where he really wanted to go. And that came across his news feed on his phone. And he called his friend. And he said, oh, this is going to be big. I want to go to Portugal. And he felt the Holy Spirit nudging him back to Minneapolis, where he lives. And so his house, he said, I've got videos of it, tanks driving by my house, helicopters flying over. He said, it's a war zone. He said, God told him that he needed to go be part of the solution there. And he said, God, what can I do? I'm a white guy. What voice can I have in this? And the Holy Spirit said, you can go serve. And so because he's got all kinds of connections and already works with tons of ministries, he's connected people. We watched video after video at the very location, the grocery, Cup Grocery, right out in front of there. We watched videos of person after person getting baptized, and he said he's watched demons come out of people. He's watched racial reconciliation. Like, guys, there's more than the news is telling you. I want to stir your hearts for a little bit. I know I'm sharing stories of stories, and that's not the best way to do it, but it's all I've got for you. I've got a message, but I want to use every tool in my arsenal to stir your hearts to faith. I want to use everything that I can to stir your hearts to hunger for God in ways that you never have. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about all the miracles in France. We had a revivalist panel. We paid for a luncheon, and we got to have lunch with those guys, and they asked them questions and just about what they're seeing. They said, "Where is God moving on the earth? What have you seen?" And right away, everyone's like, "Brazil, Brazil, Brazil, Brazil." We all looking at each other like, "You heard of Brazil? Like Venezuela? I mean, that was the thing like for 3 decades. I'm like, Brazil? What's going on in Brazil?" So then I felt upset that I didn't know that God was doing something incredible in Brazil. And when we had IWT here in Impact World Tour, I remember Matt Woods, the leader of that. I remember we went to Jim and Kathy's house when they were living at Darcy's, and took him and his wife there for supper, and we just got to ask him questions. And I think it was Brazil where he was at, and his leader sent him down there, and it was just all this crazy. And I had forgotten all about that story, so that would have been 5, 6, 7 years ago. And God ended up filling a stadium with people pounding on the doors to get in to hear the message of Jesus. And I kind of forgot all about that. And I think it was Brazil. It might have been a different country, but I'm pretty sure that was Brazil. And so they're all talking about Brazil. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on in Brazil? And so one of the things is there's this young guy who was a Christian, but he was not living for God. And he was out dabbling in the world and kind of making bad choices and kind of just playing the game. Yeah, you ever known anybody just playing the game? I mean, not you, but just doing the thing. And his sister committed suicide. And it just wrecked him. And he said, God, there's a spirit of death on my generation. I've got to get serious, and I've got to do something. So he started meeting in, I think it's Brasilia. Is that the town? I think somewhere central in Brazil, but I think the town is Brasilia. Big city. And started meeting in the city square. There's a big fountain kind of thing there or whatever. We watched or seen some pictures of it. And I think there was, 4 or 5 kids. Yep, started praying. And I think he was 18 or 19 or something. Just these kids started praying. Just every day they'd go to the city square and just pray. Every day, just go and pray. Every day, God, we're just crying out for our generation, God. God, we're just crying out for our generation. 5 turned into 10. 10 turned into 20. Now there's thousands upon thousands of Brazilian kids on their faces before God out in the city streets saying, God, do it here, do it here, do it now. God, save our generation. God, save our generation. God, save thousands of kids, tears pouring down their face, leaving their jobs early, sacrificing so that they can be out on the pavement, not a cushy chair, not a special speaker, crying out for hours in the streets, God, do it in our country. Do it in my generation. We saw a picture of 3 million people packed into the streets of Brazil, just praying. Pastor Steve was talking. He grew up in a denomination. That didn't flow with the Holy Spirit and ended up kind of getting kicked out of that. And then when he did get filled with the Holy Spirit, which happens, and he was down there with one of the leaders down there of this denomination. And they don't really believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit, kind of like we do. Doctor told him he had something in his nose, some kind of cancer. It was inoperable. Doctor said, go home and get your affairs in order and have fun. You're going to die. So he went home and he closed himself in his room and he put his Bible out and he said, God, I need to see you. I need to see you. I can't remember. I think he stayed in his study for 3 days, and 3 days later he walks out healed. And so as the leader of the denomination, he said, all right, everybody, change of plans. Yep. So Pastor Steve sat in a conference with 30,000 pastors from that denomination who didn't believe in the working of the Holy Spirit, watching them all filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other languages, doing exploits. The miracles that they are seeing are mind-boggling. There's such a hunger for the things of God. There's such a hunger for the things of God. Josh was talking about, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, man. Talking about in Minneapolis, how easy it is in brokenness to see God move. And how we as a church, we cannot miss our opportunity here. And how we need the fire of God burning in us, because this is a ripe moment. Hearts are broken. Hearts are angry. Hearts are anxious. Who can speak into that? Jesus can. Oh, wait, Jesus isn't here. Who else can? Jesus in you can. You know what I mean. The hands and feet got to be the voice and the love and the heart of God. And so he was just talking about how there's no one group that is running things there and how all the body of Christ is coming together and no one gets to take credit for it. And all these things are happening and the Holy Spirit is just providing. And one day they need a MC and so out of the blue there comes an MC. And one day they need diapers to give to moms and all of a sudden there's a truckload of diapers that come. There's miraculous things happening right in the middle of death and desolation, guys. We need to stop just having our opinion about the news. I'm going to get mad. That's not Christ-like. Frustrated with my own self, if anything. Maybe you guys are all much better at it than that, but you know what? You're not going to make the world a better place with your dumb opinion of what you heard on Fox the other day, or MSNBC, or I don't care, whatever you watch, I don't care. Get yourself alone with Jesus. And let's listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because where we're all frustrated and waiting for answers, you are the answer. Where we're all waiting for God to do something, God wants to do something. You're talking about in Seattle, Portland, one of those towns. There is, Josh is connected with all these guys that are, I forget what he calls them. Not marches, but like kind of like prayer walks kind of things. You know, while people are protesting, whatever, they're doing this. We're just bringing the kingdom of God here. And there's all these groups of people that are doing that. And he's connected with a lot of them. They've been going city to city and seeing just phenomenal things happen. When the church got mobilized out west to that, just the protests that had been escalating, it stopped that day. It stopped that day when the church decided we're going to take the streets, not to argue with people, not to picket with signs, not to whatever. We're going to come out and love and be Jesus and pray the kingdom of God into this place. Crisis averted. Steve was talking about just, he had a kind of a little section where he was just talking about how God wants to do so much more than what we're often will let him do or believe for. He was talking about this time, this moment in this service where they had all through, it was a conference kind of thing, and all throughout the time he thought he had taken enough risk and really stepped out in faith, and then he'd get done and the Holy Spirit would say, well, you haven't taken a risk yet. Like, I did, God. And so the Holy Spirit would tell him to do something. At the very first time it happened, people were healed of all kinds of things. God had just moved and done incredible things, and we're all, we're good, you're good, all right. And he's handing the mic back to the pastor, and the Holy Spirit said, you haven't taken a risk yet. And it stopped him in his tracks. He said, I knew when I'd give the altar call that he felt the anointing for salvation. He knew people would come to Christ. And when he had called out for healing, he knew people were going to be healed. He said, Holy Spirit, you're right. Everything I've done so far, I knew you were going to do. And the Holy Spirit said, I want to heal blind eyes. He's like, oh, okay. So he said, if I would have stopped, I would have said, the pastor would have said, the board would have said, that was a phenomenal service. God showed up. That was incredible. But God wanted to do more. Look at somebody say more. More. God wanted to do more. More. And so he said, all right, anyone, and there was a bunch of these stories, so don't roll your eyes at me if I get the wrong one. But I think in this one, he said, if anyone is partially blind or blind, come on up and raise your hand. Yep. And there was 53 people in that place that were blind or that were partially blind. I think it was 51 people got healed. 51, blind eyes open. Well, how come God never does stuff like it? He does. We're just too busy watching Seinfeld to know about it. I don't know, what do we watch these days? Do you know what I mean? I want to stir your hearts. Guys, there's more going on than you know about. Come on. The Lord is moving in our land and in our world. Oh, I'm so excited. So this happened a couple days in a row. And each time he's like, I'm not that bright, but I can learn. And he's like, he said, the next day I went for broke. I launched out and I took a risk and I did this and got done. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, you need to take a risk. He's like, I did. I laid it all out there, man. I did it all. And so I forget what the one was, but the one that sticks in my head was, he said, Holy Spirit said, I want to heal through cell phones. And we've actually been in meetings where the speaker's done this, got great testimonies of people getting healed on the other end of the cell phone. And so he's like, well, we've done that. But he just kept feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do that. And so they did that. He had about 10 or 15 people pulled their cell phones out. He said, call someone that's sick. Anybody in here, call someone that's sick. And so they would call. And he said, all right, you pray. Just a little 30. He was teaching on releasing the healing of God. Just a 30-second prayer in their church. You don't get to pray for longer than 30 seconds. Pray a prayer. Let's see God do it. He said testimonies were coming in. And he said, then the drummer came out. Came out of the drum. We all know what we think about drummers. Right? So the drummer comes out. And he's got his cell phone there. And he comes running up to him. And he's like, my buddy was just in a motorcycle accident. He's in ICU. He's in critical condition. He's hooked up to all these machines and tubes. He's in, you know, unconscious or in a coma. Or I don't know. Anyways, unconscious for sure. Not looking good. Can you pray for him? And he's like, absolutely, you do it. And the drummer's like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, you do it. No, you do it. And so the whole thing is he's trying to get the people to do the training for ministry, right? That's our job to do for you. And so he said, finally, out of sheer annoyance, he said, I was not feeling the presence of God. He's like, I was annoyed. I wanted this guy to shut up. He's like, I grabbed the phone. I said, Jesus, heal him. Amen. And I gave it back to him. Guy went back in the drum room, and they're getting some other testimonies of people on the phone that had been healed or whatever. All of a sudden, the guy in the drum room screams, comes running out, and on the phone is the guy walking up and down the hallway who had just unplugged all his stuff and had gotten just perfectly healed that was in ICU. How have I limited God? And I'm not talking about just blatant arrogance. I'm going to jump off the roof because God will save me. I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm talking about mature, passionate, faith-filled risks. What have you given up on that you should be praying for still? Whose life is hanging in the balance? Because God wants you. God picked you to pray for them and to share them, to lay hands on them and heal them. Josh was talking about earlier on, this isn't recent, but earlier on, he had this girl come and just wanted Christ and was just filled with demons and whatever and cutting and suicidal. That's what happened. She had hung herself. And as she hung herself, the rope broke and she fell down and her parents found her or whatever, and so she did a couple months of treatment and somehow got connected with Josh because he was out preaching in the streets, and he's just one of these guys, he's just in the dark places. So they got connected, and he's like, well, honey, what you need is Jesus, and he'll set you free. And she's like, I'll try that. And God just delivered her, set her free, power of Christ transformed her life, and dark people hang out with dark people, right? And so all her suicidal, depressed, cutting, demon-filled friends started showing up. And he said it was about a year's worth of just, we would have these just Bible studies at our house. And he said these kids would come over and there'd be kids just demons coming out of kids and just all this kind of stuff. And he said, this was like 10 years ago. He said, I still run into these kids today. And they're like, hey, I'm still serving Jesus. I'm still walking with the Lord. I got set free that night and I'm still walking with God. And I say that because there's a girl named Anna in Jeff and Autumn's church in Huron. And she's a mom with a pile of kids. They come in piles. They need to be sorted and folded. And the Lord stirred in her heart a passion for youth. She had a God-birthed groaning for the young generation. I want you to catch this. So she's praying and being frustrated and being maybe not even faith-filled, she's going, God, what can I do? I stay at home and I've got a pile of kids to take care of, but God, my heart is broken for this generation. God, what do I do? God, what do I do? I'm not anybody. I just sit at home with my kids. Right? Watch this. So over a course of time, as she's groaning with the Lord, as they're working this out together, she decides to put a little verse on Facebook, which she doesn't do a lot. So she plops that up on the wall and says, what do you think about this? I don't even remember what the verse was. And some friend of a friend, however it works in media, commented on it. And she didn't know this guy. And he's like, oh, I think it means this or whatever. And it stirred her heart. So she ended up having this conversation with this guy that she doesn't know. Doesn't know what he looks like. Doesn't know this guy. But her heart has been stirred for this generation, right? So she's been spending time in the secret place, crying out to God, wrestling with the Holy Spirit. What do I do? God, this is a God-given birth desire in me, and yet I'm just frustrated because I don't know what to do about it. So God's stirring her heart, plops the thing on Facebook, has a conversation on Messenger with this guy or comments or whatever. End of story. Pastor Jeff goes out every week and goes evangelizes. They go out and pray for people and just see healings and all kinds of cool stuff and just talk to people about Jesus. She wanted to go with. So I think it was like the next day. She goes out with Jeff. They're out talking to people. And this guy shows lots of interest in what they're talking about. He's like, you guys talking about God? And they're like, yeah, come on over. And so they're talking with him. And she says, well, what's your name? He says his name. It's the guy she had met on Facebook the night before and had this conversation about. She said, my jaw dropped. She's like, I can't believe you're here right now. He's like, that's you? She's like, yeah, let's pray. Guy gets saved. Okay. A little while later, she's on Facebook. She's scrolling through. Sees this girl who's got some lewd post on there about God knows what, you know, and she's like, this girl needs Jesus. This is in Huron, South Dakota, a girl in her, who knows, younger than me, right? As you know, that's opening up a wider and wider gap. Just as she's scrolling through, but you know what she is? She's hungry and she's sensitive. She's hungry for the things of God. She's being obedient to pray, and she's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Scrolling through, this captures her attention, just the sin, blah, you know, just one of those vomit posts, you know, whatever it is. Well, I don't know, whatever she was doing. She stops. She says, this girl needs Jesus. Keep scrolling. It was within, I don't know how long, a very short period of time, hours or days, this girl shows up at her house. Doesn't know her. They don't know each other. This girl shows up at Anna's house and wants to talk to her. She's like, come on in. They sit down, and she leads her to Christ. And this girl gets radically committed to Jesus. And Anna said, you need to be discipled. And she was in a mess. I mean, a mess of a mess. Anna said, you know what? Why don't you move in with me? I'll disciple you. So they have Bible studies all the time, and she's raising this girl to know the Lord. Dark people hang out with dark people. So guess what she has a house full of now? She has a house full of kids who keep seeing changes in their friends going, there's life there. This doesn't feel like life that's in me. Can I come over and can we talk? And day after day, there's people beating down their doors to hear about Jesus. Or we can watch Seinfeld. I just want to stir your heart to know that there's so much for you. This is my slides from last time. And I just feel like I just want to do these two. This is a review from last time. We get stuck because we keep getting helped out instead of helped up. We get stuck because we're not putting into practice what we already know. We get stuck because we think that what we're accustomed to is good. What we're not accustomed to must automatically be bad. That was last week. That's what we talked about last week. This is just a rewording of this, and I really felt the Lord breathing on this for this morning. And this is, I'm going to be very upset with you if you take this in with guilt. This is meant as invitation and as enlightenment and not as condemnation. Okay? These are just a rewording of those three things. We stop growing because we become victims. if when I say fill in the blanks, I'm not growing because, and there's anything but you in the blank, you're a victim. Amen. You have handed your destiny to the broken washer, or to the mean coworker, or to my mom who won't forgive me, or you've handed the reins to the destiny of your life to someone or something else. Well, the devil's doing that. All right, well then let the devil run your life. As a victim, you consciously hand over your destiny to whatever it is you're a victim to. Man, are we good at doing that. We are like, if we were taking a test, we would all ace that one. We're good at that. And we stop growing when we do that. And in this pursuit of something more, guys, we got to grow up. We got to not be victims. All right? Okay, bad things happen. Yeah, we get it. We'll cry with you. We'll laugh with you. We'll grieve with you. We'll walk through it with you. That's not saying we don't have compassion and that bad things don't happen to good people, because they do. And there's a process. But there's a healthy process and there's a victim process. We draw a line in the sand. Psh, no more victims. We're not going to enable you to stay in your junk. Okay? It's not good for you. We love you too much. Yeah, big words now. Just remind us of that later. We get lazy. We know there's more of God. And we just get lazy. We just don't do what we're supposed to be doing. Again, not guilt. Invitation. All right. Recognize that. Ooh, like John said. Let's get that out of there. Get the dead mouse out of the house. Right? And the third thing is we get comfortable. We like what we like. And in America, it is a God-given right to like what I like. Stepping over here, because that's an angry spot over there. Stay in the character of Christ. Kindness. I get so frustrated with me. And I love this country, and I love America. But it's really easy for me to think that I deserve something because I'm America, right? And it's not America, it's kingdom. We're pursuing kingdom. Kingdom says I go low. Kingdom says your rights are better than my, or not better, but I pursue. That's the correct terminology. I pursue putting you first. Well, that's not how we do things around here. It's how Jesus does things. And if we're going to be about his business, that's how we need to do things. And man, I've had a taste, and I don't want to do things any other way. Jeff and Autumn have a church there, and they were having a pre-conference deal. And this lady from California, they didn't know that. There was a lady standing out with all the other people. And Autumn, pastor, goes to meet her and says, "Hey, hi, are you here for the pre-conference thing?" And she said, "No, I'm here to check out your church. I'm from California. I'm moving here. I want to come to South Dakota because you've got an incredible governor." And so we prayed, and the Lord said, "Move to Huron." So we looked up churches and found your guys' right away, and I just knew that I needed to check this one out. And then my daughter needed a new Bible app for her phone, so she got this. The name of Jeff and Autumn's church is James River Church. She pulled up apps in her app store, and the second one was a 21-day Bible app from James River Church. Not their James River Church, but another James River Church somewhere else, some big one somewhere.
Springfield.
Okay. And so the daughter told the mom, "You think the Lord's trying to tell us something?" And so their hearts get connected. God is working in unprecedented ways, in unusual channels, in unusual methods, because these are unusual times. Just bring her. They're looking for a house and they applied for jobs. They want to go to their church. Both of the guys, one from Minneapolis, one from Springfield, Missouri. Steve and his wife, for their 50th anniversary, they went to Falls Park in Sioux Falls. Not sure why there. But there was, they were just sitting on the park bench. And the wife is older, but she's quite a firecracker. And they were sitting there, and this just kind of enjoying the park, enjoying the waterfalls. And this little boy walks by with a cast on his arm. And the wife just blurted out, "Jesus, heal him!" And the mom stops in her tracks. And they're like, "Oh, whoops." And the mom turns around and says, "You are the seventh person that has prayed for my boy in this park for healing." Steve said, "I have not seen openness in the United States." And this is a guy that travels to revivals around the world all the time. And has experienced revival in his own church. Unprecedented, miracle-moving, Book of Acts kind of revival. He said, "I've not seen openness in the United States like I've seen in Sioux Falls." He said, "There's an openness to the gospel. There's a freedom for God to move in South Dakota." Both of them said the exact same thing. They said, "What is going on in this state? What is happening here? There is a freedom for the Lord. Their hearts are soft here." They both said what is horrible about missions work is not being in the mud hut eating the, you know, the bugs. The horrible thing about missions work is coming back to America where we're stubborn and hard-hearted. That's what they both said. That's what the hard part about missions work is. And they said, in this season, we come back, and instead of brick walls all the time, we're seeing softening. We're seeing openness. And then they said, and then we come to South Dakota and we see this openness and receptiveness to the gospel. So be it. So be it. I'm just going to stop there. God, help us to not be victims. Help us to not walk in the flesh and be lazy. Help us to not be so comfortable that we miss the opportunities of the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, and maybe a dangerous prayer, but yes, I will do that after I remembered. A prayer of just activation in your guys' life. So if you want to continue walking in hard-heartedness, just do this, and the Holy Spirit will pass you over. I'm just kidding. God, I just bless this congregation. Lord, I know this has been a different morning, but God, we just don't want to miss a single thing that you are doing and saying to us. God, we know that there is so much more than what we've experienced and what we've known, and we just say, God, do it again. Do it in our day. Do it in this time. Do it in this season, God. Mobilize this church, God. Mobilize this body to be the body of Christ. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your passion and your presence that you're pouring into hearts today. Activate your church, God. Empower your people in Jesus' name. Amen.